Well, hello, everybody. So today we're finishing up the Faith Hall of Fame, the section from the book of Hebrews that raises up some people in the Old Testament as examples of faith. I'm calling this message the surprise ending. The surprise ending. Now, there's some people that just love a surprise, right? It's like the ones that they catch you whispering with your friend about some surprise that you're planning for them, and they're like, whoa, I got to get out of here. I don't want to ruin the surprise, right? And they take off. But then there's others where they got to know what's going on. You can't surprise them because they just are always kind of sneaking around. If you're planning a surprise, they're going to sneak in there and listen. Or somehow you plan the perfect surprise, and they just find out about it. Well, this happened to the Lidstone family once. We've got a friend that's her. Like, she just always knows what's happening. You can't surprise her. But one time we did. And here's how it happened. See, at the Lidstone family, we celebrate half birthdays. Half birthdays, right, where it's like, instead of every year, you do the half birthday. And it's kind of necessary today because, of course, you get from Facebook or whatever else, you get all these announcements about, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday today, so don't forget to write them a message on this social media platform or whatever. So we're always getting bombarded with these reminders. I've got one of you here, actually, is on my calendar on January 1st. An elderly member of our congregation is turning 414. So they don't always get it quite right, but somehow that ended up in my calendar. Anyway, so we get all these reminders, and I'm not naming names. So that's why we in the Lidstone family have to do the half birthday, because it's just kind of a special thing. We do this week was Julie's half birthday, so I made her half a cake and we had that, and she's the one that plays along. I think she knew that there was gonna be a half birthday cake when she got home, but she acted surprised and we had lots of fun. Yeah, the half birthday cake. You might be thinking with the half birthday cake, it's like, well, then doesn't that mean that on the regular birthday you have to have the other half? And no, I'm good with having a full birthday cake on the regular birthday. The cake math doesn't work out, but it's still good. Anyway, so our I know you're like, this is a big introduction for the surprise ending, but anyway, our friend that you never surprised her. So we one day, Julie and the kids, they made cupcakes. It was her half birthday, and they took them over there and she opens the door, and they're like, hey, surprise. She's like, what's this all about? It's like, it's your half birthday. And she was totally surprised and totally annoyed, too, that she'd gotten caught. So I know that as I've been talking about the surprise ending, some of you are like, maybe pulled your earmuffs out of your purse and put them on, because you're like, I don't want to hear about the surprise until we get there. But that's what we're calling today's message, the surprise ending. If you're a surprise liker, then there might be some spoilers here, but stay tuned. The surprise is coming. You maybe already know what it is. If you don't like surprises, you can actually zip forward to the grand finale for today. It's Hebrews 11 verses 39 to 40. But for the rest of us, we'll start in Hebrews 11 verse 32. Hebrews 11 32. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open your word today, that you would teach us some cool stuff, some neat stuff, that we would know you, that you would speak to us, that you would call us to new things. For anybody that doesn't know you, Lord, our prayer is that today would be the day that they would know you. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11, 32. Hebrews 11, 32. Here we are. And what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. So remember, up until this point, for the past 28 verses or so, the author's been giving us these examples of people of faith, right? People of these, he's been saying, hey, here's somebody from the Old Testament that's an example of faith, and here's what he or she did that was this example. And now he's getting near the end of this section. He's like, whoa, I'm running out of room here. We're going to have to speed things up a little bit. And he's thinking, I got another 1,000 years or so to hit, and we could be going on all day here. So let's kind of speed it up. And so that's what he does. All of a sudden, instead of giving a few little details, he just throws out the names to finish these last 1,000 years and throws out a few examples. And so, in this verse, he mentions a few more of these heroes of faith, and actually, we'll go through this whole section, and we'll get right to the surprise ending at the end. But as we go through this, you'll see that it's like just bam, 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 bam. We'll slow down a little bit, maybe talk about some of these, but it's kind of a bam, bam, bam to get it all done. Maybe this is how you've been feeling about this section of Hebrews as we've been going through it for the past 8 weeks or so. And it's like, Pastor, we've been talking about faith for 8 weeks. And if that's how you're feeling, that's sometimes how I've been feeling. It's like, Lord, these messages seem a little bit repetitive. And this week I was praying about that, and I just felt God saying, you know what? Maybe it is, but every week there's something different that I want you to share with my people. And maybe that's to reinforce some different point or some different nuance, or maybe there's something that they haven't heard yet. And so by faith, I trust that God has had us taking our time going through, talking about faith every week for the past little while. And I trust by faith, not that my words have been so elegant and convincing, but that the Holy Spirit's been at work here and that he's been working in each of your lives. Maybe that won't manifest itself till later, but by faith, I believe that even though we've been going through faith so slowly, it's what God's had for us. So here we get to this part, and it's like, all right, we got to speed this up. We got to speed things up a little bit. So remember here that the author of Hebrews, he's writing to Jewish Christians, right? And so they'd be familiar with all the heroes that are mentioned here. And so as he throws out these names, for each of these names, a story's going to pop to mind. Maybe that happened for you, depending on how familiar you are with some of these characters. But as he mentions each of these characters, a story's going to pop to mind. A little bit of their stories, and watch for this. For most of these characters, as we mention them, for most of them, a weakness or a failure is kind of the first thing that comes to mind. And I think that's kind of the point. That is kind of the point. That these heroes, they're not awesome examples of faith because they're super powerful. They're heroes of the faith because God is super powerful. Right? And I think we do see that confirmed as we read through and hear some more of these names, and maybe their failures come to mind. It's like their failures coming to mind is a reminder that, it's not about these people being super powerful, it's about God being super powerful. And I'm kind of ruining the surprise a little bit here, hinting at maybe what's coming, so sorry about that if you're a surprise liker. If you do have your Bible open to Hebrews 11:32, we'll note some of these characters that are mentioned in this first verse here. And as we mention each character, have a think about what story or example first comes to mind as we mention them. All right, so let's walk through together. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell me, or time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets. So starting with Gideon, you remember Gideon? His story is found in Judges 6 to 7. And all these examples were in the period when Israel was, actually not all these examples, some of these examples, the first ones were in the period when Israel was ruled by judges. And so for a time, Gideon was the judge over Israel. And the Israelites in this period, they're being bullied by the Midianites. So one day, Gideon, you remember, he does this thing with the wool fleece where one night he says, God, can you put, just make it damp, just to confirm, do you really want me to attack to lead the people against the Midianites? And he wakes up and the fleece is damp and the ground all around it is dry. And he's like, okay, God, if you really, really want me to do this, I'm going to flip this, dry off this fleece, and if it's dry tomorrow, then I'll know that this is what you really want me to do. So he's kind of he's not quite sure, is this really what you want? And so God does that. God answers him there. And so it's confirmed, and the next day it's time to plan this attack. And Gideon has 32,000 warriors. And so he's getting them ready. And there's a huge number of Midianites as well. The Bible says that that if you tried to count their camels, it would be like counting the sands on the seashore. So they've got a huge army as well. But I suspect in Gideon's mind, he's like, all right, I got these 32,000, so we can make this work, right? God will help us. We can make this work. 32,000, sure. Well, then God's like, hey, listen, Gideon, if you go against some of these 32,000, then you're going to think that it's because you guys are such good warriors, and I want you to know that it's me that's winning the battle here. So here's what I want you to do. Tell the guys, any of them that are feeling a little bit scared, aren't feeling good about this battle, tell them they can take off. And so, what is it, 22,000, I think, decide, you know what, that's a little bit too scary for us, so we're going to leave. So 22,000 go, 10,000 left. Gideon's like, okay, good. That's a little bit lower, but all right. Well, then God says, okay, listen, I want you to send these 10,000 down to the river to get a little drink. Some of them are going to cup up the water and drink it like that. Some of them are going to drink it like a dog would with their tongue. And so then that'll separate out 300. And of those 300, those are the ones that I want you to attack the Midianites with. And so since his group of people is so small, then obviously when the victory does come, which it does, God is victorious, then with these 300 people, Gideon defeats the Midianites. And the cool thing is that Gideon's known as a mighty warrior, right? And we look at this story and it's like, well, who won the battle here? I mean, God won the battle, right? But he names Gideon as a mighty warrior. All right, then next is Barak. So up till this point, the faith heroes have been presented in chronological order, like throughout this whole section of Hebrews. And here they kind of are in more of a random order. Barak actually is before Gideon, but for some reason they're in a random order. One of my commentaries said, yeah, they're in a random order because the author wants to make the point that this is, I'm just pulling out some random examples, right? I'm not covering everybody, just pulling out some random examples. I think that God's got something more that he wants to say, that he picked the order for some special reason, but I wasn't able to crack that code. So it could be that it's just, hey, this is just random, just to make the point of just picking out a few, and I haven't included everybody here. So Deborah is the judge over Israel at this point in time, and she's also a prophet. And this time the Israelites are being oppressed by the Canaanites. One day, Deborah has a command from the Lord for Barak. Take 10,000 men, I will give the Canaanites into your hands. So it seems that Barak is lacking in faith. He responds to Deborah. He's like, listen, I'm only going to do this if you come with me. And so Deborah says, sure, but now honor will not be yours. Instead, the enemy will be delivered into the hands of a woman. And so, of course, in the society there, it was like the men were the warriors, so they would go out. So here, Deborah, since Barak is saying, I need you to come with me, then the honor is going to go to, into the hands of a woman. So they go out and they achieve victory. Now remember back to the Jewish Christians that would have been reading, that Hebrews was originally written to. When Barak's lifted up as an example of faith in the book of Hebrews, they probably would have done a double take here. They'd be like, really? Barak? He didn't have faith, right? He kind of wimped out there. But here he is. He's lifted up. He's included as an example of faith. The next in this verse, Samson, the strongest man. But he had a problem. He allowed himself to be seduced by women. He falls in love with and marries Delilah. She finds out that the secret to his strength is his long hair. So she has it cut off, and the Philistines capture him. And then while he's in prison, his hair grows back, his strength comes back, and then as his last act, he pushes down the pillars holding up the temple roof over the Philistines while they're partying. That's his last. It's like he gets his strength, and then as his last act, he's able to do this feat of super strength. And then we have Jephthah. And so Jephthah, you might remember his story. As I tell the story, it'll probably pop back to mind. So before the big battle, he's going to go out to battle, and he says to God, God, Lord, if you give me victory here, then when I come back, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to sacrifice to you. And so then he goes off to battle, and he's victorious. God gives him victory. And he's like, yeah, super, super pumped at this victory. Then he's coming back home, and this one, for some reason, every time I I tell this story, it just, for some reason, it hits me. He's coming back home, and who should come out of his door, out of the door? His only daughter. And it's like, oh, and she's super excited. She's playing the timbrel. I don't even know what that is, but it's some kind of awesome instrument. She's super excited. She's like, yeah, Dad, good job. She comes out, and her dad's just weeping. He's like, oh, and some, we don't know whether that ended up that he somehow sacrificed her. I don't know that that would be like that he killed her. I don't think that that happened. Most people think that instead she remained unmarried for the rest of her life, that was kind of the, how Barak honored that vow. But anyway, it's like he made this rash vow. He goes off to battle, comes back, and then he's got to fulfill, he's got to honor this vow, and it's just, oh, it's just lousy, isn't it? So some of you probably recognize that story, right? But do we remember anything else about his life? I think who was he fighting? What else was going on? What happened? Probably not. Probably most of us, all we remember is that rash vow and how that played out. Here's something. Have you ever met a mom or a dad whose kid can do no wrong? Right? It can be annoying, or a husband, his wife makes all kinds of bad choices, but he can't see it, right? Samson was this guy. That's how he was captured. But here's the thing. You know who else is this guy? Is God, right? In many ways, God is this guy. Certainly during our lives, we've got a Heavenly Father that corrects us and teaches us and wants to draw us along a certain path. But I love how here in Hebrews, it's like we can look back and we can read the history of these characters and see, oh, all these stupid things that they did, all these bad mistakes. And yet when God, here in Hebrews, recounts their life, he's like lifting them up. He's like, these people are my servants. They're awesome. They're heroes of the faith. And sometimes we do a double take. We're like, hero of the faith? How does that even work? But for God, maybe that's a reminder that you need this morning. Hey, if you've got some failures in your life, know that when God looks at you, he loves you. And he's that parent that's like, my child is awesome. You're so precious. Okay, so, these people all messed up, but God records them as heroes. Next, we have King David, and right, although having his own faults and serious sin, he lived a life of devotion to God, and God did do mighty things through him. And then the prophet Samuel. He's an example of faith. Here's something helpful. 1 Samuel 12:11. When Samuel's old and he's about to die, he gives this farewell speech in 1 Samuel 12. I'm not going to turn there. You can if you want. But 1 Samuel 12:11. He gives this farewell speech. And in the speech, he mentions four of the six people mentioned in our Hebrews verses. And it's kind of a neat verse to consider because each of these verses is mentioned here by Samuel. And it's mentioned in Hebrews, and then we have the original account of their story. So it kind of, when you put these three different places together, it kind of helps us to get a little bit of a different view, of a more three-dimensional scan of who these people are. 1 Samuel 12:11, it's super simple. It just says, "And the Lord," this is while Samuel's recounting his life, he says, "And the Lord sent Jerubbaal," that's Gideon, he's also known as, "and Barak and Jephthah, and Samuel," some manuscripts say Samson there, "and delivered you, the Israelites, out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety." Right? So per Samuel here, God sent these guys to deliver Israel. Per Hebrews, they're lifted up as examples of faith. But who delivered the Israelites? Right? God did. Right? I mean, it's obvious from each of the stories, and yet here's each of these people lifted up as examples of faith. I think it's like there's almost a disconnect that God wants to connect together and help to show us what faith is supposed to look like, that it's really all about him. Okay, so carrying on in Hebrews, what kind of stuff did these people do? So now he gets to this list. He's like, look at all this stuff that the people of faith in the Old Testament did. Hebrews 11. 33 to 40. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. Obtained promises is kind of an interesting one, because put your earmuffs on. This is part of the surprise ending, because at the end of this section, it's like it talks about this eternal promise that we receive. And yet here, as we talk about faith in through these heroes of old, it's talking about them receiving promises. Partly in that they received promises and that a promise was made to them, but also partly receiving promises and that promises were fulfilled. And so it's like a picture of, hey, these little promises were given and some of them were fulfilled, and that's like a that's something that happened by faith, but we're getting to the bigger thing, to this bigger promise that was and will be fulfilled by faith. Stop the mouths of lions, Daniel, right? Quench the power of fire. Hello, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escape the edge of the sword. The prophets Elijah, Elisha, and Jeremiah escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Oh, you read some of this stuff and hopefully it's an encouragement, right? Because we the persecution that we receive here in Canada as the church is pretty not that. And so this can remind us to be praying for Christians in other parts of the world, but also just give us a little bit of strength when minor persecution does come, to know that, yeah, we're joining with other Christians throughout history, with God's people throughout history that have experienced deep persecution. Tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise to a better life. Verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That's Isaiah according to tradition. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So this is a wild list. And maybe this is your story. Maybe part of your story is captured in here. Maybe you recognize something from your life. Not to that level of persecution, but I think we can still, even though some of these examples might be extreme and you might say that's so far from where I'm at, but still I know that there's different levels of persecution or difficulty that we've experienced that we might recognize in these stories. Maybe like Gideon, right? We talked about Gideon right at the beginning. Maybe like Gideon, you have a plan. Maybe you're a bit short on resources, right? You're planning to honor God. You're a little bit short on resources, but you might be able to pull it off, right? With these 32,000 soldiers, I can do this. Whatever it is, with these resources, I can do this. I can honor God with this. And then God, he just pulls the rug out from under you. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, God, I know you want me to do this, but you just took away the resources you want me to do this with. And maybe he's doing that so that he can win the battle for you. Does God's victory qualify? Does God's victory in this situation qualify you for the Faith Hall of Fame? Yes, sir. Right? We think sometimes, I think we make the mistake in thinking that if it's God that brings the victory, that doesn't qualify us for this Faith Hall of Fame. But friends, I'm here to tell you that it does. God brings the victory, and it's him that qualifies you for the Faith Hall of Fame. Or like Barak, you arrive on the battlefield. God's doing a mighty thing, but standing right next to you is the reminder of the time that you didn't have faith, right? Remember, he went out on the battlefield, and Deborah came with him, and she was there on the battlefield with him, and God's doing a mighty thing through him, and yet there right with him is Deborah. I don't know what was happening in his heart, whether that was a struggle for him or not, but I suspect that sometimes we've been there where yeah, God's working through us. God's doing something awesome. God is being glorified. And then we look and it's like, oh, there's that reminder of that stupid thing that I did. Why did I do that? And it's like, just look at what I'm doing. God's like, look what I'm doing, right? Or maybe like Samson, you've continually messed up your whole life. And now is your chance to go out in a blaze of glory, right? Do you qualify for the Faith Hall of Fame in that case? Yeah. Or like Jephthah, success. Right? God did a mighty thing through you. And then you do something foolish, or something foolish catches up with you. That regret, it's with you for the rest of your life. It doesn't have to be, but sometimes it is, right? We know that we talk about how, yeah, our identity is in Christ. The failures that we've had, the shame, the sin, we give that to Jesus. We lay it at the cross, and that's what we continually want to do. But sometimes that stuff just keeps coming up. And maybe it's something that you're struggling with for the rest of your life. I don't know if that was Jephthah's situation. Maybe you define your life by that one foolish mistake. Maybe everybody else does too, right? They look at you and they know that failure, and every time they see you, they think of that, right? And that's a struggle you got to work through for life. But God, He doesn't. He names you in the Faith Hall of Fame. Amen? Amen? Right? Oh yeah, that's a surprise ending. How do you like that surprise ending? It's good. It's like, it's good. Okay, like David, you were living the life. God was working through you, blessing you. Then you messed up big time. Like, not a little indiscretion, but deliberate stupidness. And here's a question for you. Does that disqualify you from being included in God's Faith Hall of Fame? No. How's this? This is Timothy Keller said this. It's not the quality of my faith, but the object of my faith that holds me up. Maybe you still don't get it. You're saying, hey, you know what? I'm no hero. But yes, you are. If you're a follower of Christ, then He makes you a hero. Don't you see that? These heroes of faith, they had their moments, right? They made mistakes. But they had their moments where where God was working through them. But much of their lives were plagued by failure. Yet they're included here in the Faith Hall of Fame. In each of these examples of mighty faith, who did the heavy lifting? Who did all the work? Crossing the Red Sea, who brought meaning to being sawed in two? Who raised the dead? God, of course. Why? How does one qualify? If you're a follower of Christ, then you're in. God will do mighty things through you. He does do mighty things through you. He is doing mighty things through you. Remember how we qualified these heroes of the faith earlier? These heroes aren't awesome examples of faith because they're super powerful. They're heroes of the faith because God is super powerful. You're a hero because God is super powerful. All right, so at the beginning of chapter 11 of Hebrews, all these people were commended for their faith. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." Received their commendation. What does that mean? It means that they received God's approval. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But then we get to our verses for today, and they tell us that there's something even better. How's that? Hebrews 11, verse 39. "And all these people, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." So here we have this whole chapter, about 10% of the book of Hebrews, telling us about all the awesome stuff that these heroes of the faith did. Then we get to the end, and oh, but there's something better, right? What is it? We've seen it throughout this chapter. Maybe it's not much of a surprise. The thing that's better is being made perfect. Most of these stories, God worked through these people. By faith, they stepped out, and God worked mightily through them. But being one of God's people is more about being made perfect by God than it is about being used by God. The outer transformation follows the inner transformation, right? We're created to worship God, but He transforms us on the inside so that we can do the things that He's calling us to do. All these things that these heroes accomplished, they were accomplished by God. These people put their faith in Him, and it's a big deal, right? Awesome stuff did happen. And we want to see God do awesome stuff through us. And when we put our faith in him, he does. And that's good. It's so good that Hebrews spends all this time, all these verses talking about it. It's so good that we just spent 8 weeks talking about it, right? And like I say often, for me, it was like, oh, God, really, again? He's like, yeah, this is important. But here's something even better. And this is good. This is so good. So good that God wanted all his people to experience it together. Back in the day when these heroes of old were doing their thing, Jesus hadn't been born yet. They had all these prophecies about Jesus coming, but those were primarily to confirm that Jesus is the Messiah when he comes, rather than giving them a full picture of the future. And then same thing for us with Jesus' second coming. He's coming back. Oh, yeah. And we can see the signs, right? But we don't get the full picture until it happens. For us today, we look back at Jesus and believe that he died for us. For God's people, before Jesus was born, they look forward to Jesus. They don't really know what that's going to look like. So the surprise ending here, all this good stuff that's done by faith is a big deal, but the biggest deal is being made perfect by God. And there's three parts to that. First, when we become Christians, we're given a new heart. All of a sudden, our hearts are aimed at God instead of aimed at sin. And this is why repentance is a part of becoming a Christian. We have to say, I choose to leave that old stuff behind. And then second, as we grow as disciples of Christ, the Holy Spirit is doing an ongoing work of transforming us into the people that God is calling us to be. And then third, when Jesus returns, we're finally transformed fully into who God created us to be. And for most of us, that will occur after we die. We have to wait until Jesus comes back so that we can be made, so that we can all of God's people can be made perfect at the same time. So those heroes of faith that died thousands of years ago, us heroes of the faith that will die in our time, the heroes of the faith that will die in the future, this being made perfect is something that God wants all of us to experience together. And this is because because it is so awesome, so special. It also speaks to the unity of the church, right? There's something that thousands of years ago the people were waiting for, something that we're waiting for, something that Christians in the future are going to be waiting for, God's people in the future are going to be waiting for, and then the day will come and all of God's people. So the surprise, all this good stuff that happened by faith, it's good, but we can see that there's something better. All right, friends, we're pretty much done here. These verses maybe seem to kind of go all over the place, right? But here's the big idea again. Hebrews 11 started off with this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. The idea there and in the chapter was to give us an idea of an understanding of faith, because the author of Hebrews in the previous chapter has been telling us that it's by faith that we receive eternal life. And so he's trying to answer this question, right? Faith, well, what's this faith that you're talking about, right? What does that even mean? And so then he gets into chapter 11, and he gives us these 36 verses that explain, well, this is a picture that you'll understand of faith. This is what faith looks like. Here's faith. Here's a guy that had faith, right? Because the kind of this big eternal picture of faith is a little bit harder for us to grasp. And so he's like, here's some practical examples of characters that you know, people that you know, their stories from the Old Testament. They had faith. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand now. But where he started was saying, it was this big talk about faith as far as that's where eternal life with Jesus comes from, by faith. Then we get to the end of chapter 11, the surprise ending, as I like to call it. But it's not really a surprise unless we forgot what it is that we're learning in Hebrews, right? And so verse 39, right at the end. And all these people, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, that's us, they should not be made perfect. So we see faith manifest in our daily lives. But the ultimate manifestation of faith, the faith that God gives, is in our in our eternal lives. And this is a big deal. And God wants us all to experience it together. Those that we love that have died before us will be resurrected together with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be at work here. Lord, teach us the things you want to teach us, and accept our praise now as we praise you. Lord, our prayer is that as you do continue to do mighty things through us, that we would recognize the faith that you've given us at work, that we would recognize the faith you've given us, we'd recognize it working and doing mighty things, and that we would give the glory and the honor to you, and that as we recognize that in our daily lives, that we would recognize that faith, that is the same kind of faith that makes us right with you. I praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.